Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the Lord on my soul and all that is redeeming. Praise God, praise God. Feel the glory of the Lord in this house. Amen. Hallelujah. Our class can be dismissed and the rest of us, let's turn to Proverbs. Proverbs 14, verse 8. Praise the name of the Lord. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Say it again. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of the fools is deceit. Lord, we praise you for your mercy tonight. We praise you, God, for what we feel in this house tonight, God. We thank you for your word, God. Let it teach us. Let it guide us tonight, Lord Jesus. Let it be something we can grab hold of and use in our life, God, to walk through this troubling times in our life, God, that we can find you, God, and we can know that we have hold of you. We praise you for your mercy. We praise you for your goodness. Bless us tonight. In Jesus' name, God bless you. You may be seated. I'm going to talk for a little bit about decisions. Amen. Life is full of decisions, isn't it? Amen. We always are making decisions. Everything, everywhere we go, it entails a decision. We've got to make a decision, right or wrong, how to do or where to go or who to talk to or... So being having impulsiveness in your life, it can be a real problem if you do things out of impulse. We make poor decisions when we are impulsive. We must weigh our decisions properly. Amen. If you are one that is given to just the moment and you make a decision, you're going to have troubles in your life. When we're dealing with finances, amen, we can get in trouble if we are very impulsive. Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 28, it says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost whereof, whether he have sufficiency to finish it, lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish." We look ridiculous when we start doing something and we don't have the funds to finish. That takes planning. That takes looking ahead and making sure you got your ducks in a row before you break ground and start building. Now, if God is speaking to you to do that, then you got plenty of counsel around you that could go another way. That's called trusting. But if we're just foolishly going out and doing something beyond our means, we can get ourselves in a lot of trouble. Many of the pitfalls that ensnare and trap the saints of God involve money. Many of life's problems that we face daily in our families has a lot to do with money, the decisions we make about it. how we decide to use it, amen, can cause a lot of problems in our lives. We must know and be mindful of how we decide to spend our money. It's not the will of God that a man buys recklessly beyond the ability to repay. Amen. It's not the will of God to go out and get all up into debt in cars and houses and all of that thing and then file bankruptcy and expect someone else to pay it. That, my friend, is not God's will. Amen. God wants us to pay for what we agree to pay for. Amen. He wants us to be diligent about our finances. How do we expect God to bless us if we cannot be diligent about what He has given us? Amen. If we are good with what He has, He'll give us more. Amen. Take care of the small things. Take care of the little things, and God will bless you with more. So it's not faith to believe that somehow you will get money you don't have. That means that you don't have the means to get. You gotta base what you're trying to buy on what you have, what you are getting. Amen. That just doing it and not knowing if you have it is just plain foolishness. Proverbs 14:8, it says, "The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit." God is not our rich uncle. He ain't going to come and just rescue you because we have foolishly overspent. We can pray till we're blue in the teeth. God's not going to rush and help you out of jam that you're not being prudent on. We've got to be wise. In His Word, God has promised to bless and supply our needs. Amen. But God requires us to do some things in our own lives too. Amen. God is a loving God, and He will help us. He will bless us. But if we are being foolish, He's going to let us squirm in our foolishness. Brother Mark. When we do small things and when we take care of business, amen, rest is from God. God requires us to take time to rest. We all struggle with that. Amen. Because of life, the life that we live, the life of Americans is busy life. And we like to be on the go all the time, going here, going there, doing this, doing that. But rest helps our health. Amen. And God says if you don't rest, he'll get your rest. Whether you're laying in a hospital bed somewhere or in home, bedridden, God will get His rest. Amen. So we might as well just plan it into our day, into our week, a time to rest and get the mind of God in our lives. It is important, therefore, that we clearly understand the difference between desire and need. Amen. We can desire a lot of things and make it look like it's a need. We can make it look like just because John Doe has it, I need it too. But I haven't done what I need to do to get what John Doe has done. Amen. John Doe might be going to work every day and working a little bit of overtime and planning and putting his money away and saving, amen, and then he is able to get what he has. He's a giver. He's faithful. He trusts the Lord, and God blesses. Amen. But I can't just look at someone else and just say, man, I can do that too, without having the means to do what God wants out of our lives. Amen. So we have to be wise. We have to be prudent in our thinking. In Luke 3 and 14, it says, and the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. Amen. Scripture tells us to be content in all things. And if we agree to the wages when we got hired, then we need to be thankful for what God has given us. Amen. If we want better, then we need to get on our knees and say, God, I know I agreed to that, but I know that you're able to bless me. And if you really want blessed, you can, by faith, give unto the Lord, and God will bless you. Amen. He will bless your job. He will give you a greater desire. Amen. A greater job. Amen. God will. We put God first in our jobs, God will bless you. Amen. I must be in the house of God, so I can't work a job that's going to keep me out of the house of God. God's not going to compromise his desire to bless you. Amen. He wants what is his. And he says he wants us in his house. Amen. He wants us to dwell in his holy place. God does not take from us. Amen. He won't put you in a position. If the boss is wanting you to work during church time, that's not God. That's not God. Amen. That's your desire to get something that you don't really need. Because it ain't going to matter anyhow. Amen. When we all get to heaven, that's all that's going to matter. Amen. I want him to say, well done. Good and what? Faithful servant. God wants us to be faithful in all that we do. It is imperative that we take control of our impulsive urges. We got to be careful when we're at the clothing store. Man, that looks really nice. I sure need a new whatever. And we, because we have our paycheck in our wallet and it's burning a hole in our pocket, we just get the urge and we just buy, neglecting the bills that need paid, neglecting the gas tank that needs filled. Amen. We can get in trouble by being impulsive in our urges to spend. If God blesses you with money you didn't expect, save it. Put it away. Amen. It might be that God sees a need that's coming. Amen. Tomorrow may be a whole different week. You know? And when God gives you a blessing, it doesn't hurt to put a little aside. And put a little comfort aside so that you know, that was from God. I didn't expect that. God gave that to me. Amen. I can place that in a place where God, when the need comes, God had provided that. Amen. You're being diligent. So if God blesses you with money, save it. How will my decisions impact my marriage? Amen. Money makes a big difference in the house, doesn't it? That's most of our discussions. Is how we're going to pay for this and what we're going to do with this money. And it's a major decision Young people, when you go to get married, which is coming soon, you're getting older. Amen. It's coming soon. So you can start planning now. Amen. Take advantage of being at home with mom and dad. Little plug right there. All right. Put some things away. Because one day you're going to be married, and that's going to be an issue in your marriage. And if you start now being prudent with the things that God is giving you, saving a little bit, putting some things back, God will bless you, and you'll get off on a really good footing. Amen. How many married folk here could say amen? Praise God. A lot of wisdom in this room. Amen. A lot have been there, done that. And you can be blessed. You don't need what you think you need, young people. If you can put some things aside, you'll be farther, much farther ahead. Some seem to remember their marriage vows as "till death do us part." Is that right? Well, you know, just because, you know, the bills are racked up and, you know, I can't handle it anymore. I'm out of here. No. We made them. We stick around and pay for them. Amen. Together. Amen. It can be done. You just gotta commit to doing what is right. The greatest cause of arguments, strife, and marriage breakups in America is money and debt. Amen. When we get in trouble with our finances, it causes a lot of grief. We get nipping at each other. We get barking at each other, and all kinds of, the enemy can get its fangs in those situations and destroy what God has put together. So it will also impact our children. Amen. Your decisions in your finance, your decisions will impact your family, your children. If indebtedness requires both parents to work, the family suffers. Amen. The children suffer because of having to do two jobs, and the kids have to be babysat and all those things, and they lose out that what mom only can give them. If indebtedness requires you to take on an extra job, it impacts your whole family. Amen. I know we're living in hard times, but God is still God, and He's still on the throne. Amen. And He will bless you. He will bless you if you put Him first and you put your family before your needs, your wants. Amen. I'm not talking just out of my head. We lived this kind of life. Amen. Our family was important. Amen. We raised our family. My wife stayed at home, and we sacrificed. We didn't drive the nicest cars. We didn't drive the best of anything. We didn't have the nicest homes because our family was important. Amen. It will impact our ministries as well. Everything that we do in our lives can be impacted by a wrong decision. A decision to do something out of impulse, and we regret it later. Every believer is called to be a minister or servant for Jesus Christ. You have a calling. Amen. Amen. God has called you first and foremost to be a soul winner. Amen. To witness. Amen. He gave you the baptism of the Holy Ghost to empower you to witness in all the earth. Amen. And how many know that it takes finance to witness? Right? The coffee with your friend costs money. Amen. The lunch, the just a lot of things we do to try to minister to somebody costs us. It ought to cost you. Amen. God desires sacrifice. If a believer is overwhelmed financially because his own doing, how will that affect his ministry? Amen. We get ourselves in so many pickles. And we can get out of it. We just got to make a decision. Amen. A decision that says, I don't need that. I can do without that. I don't have to be like the Joneses. I can sacrifice to get this taken care of so that I can be free. I like that the one financial guy says, live like no one else so that you can live like no one else. In other words, do what it takes to get out of debt and then you can live like no one else. In James chapter 3 and verse 5, beginning with verse 5, it says, even so the tongue is a little member that boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Keep going. We're going to go to 12. Huh? What's that? What's that? That's okay. My bad. Praise God. We're going to talk about what we talk about. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that if it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no foundation both yield salt water and fresh. I don't know if you've ever had a water softener go bad or just mess up for a little bit, and you get up and you make you a cup of coffee and you're thinking you're getting some good fresh water, and you take a big chug of that coffee in the morning first thing and it is salty as all put out. Whew. Not good. Can't. It's a bad thing when it mixes. Too frequently our conversations is about other humans. Amen. And what they are doing or have done. You believe that what so-and-so done to me? I can't. can't believe Sister so-and-so would say something that way. These are common when there's problems or faults. Amen. This tendency has been with us for ages. It's a part of our nature to talk, to share others' failures and problems and situations. The human race is inquisitive about other people's lives, but neglect to correct the faults of their own. We like to pick at the beam in someone else's eye, or the speck in someone else's eye, when we got one big giant beam sticking out of ours. We are adept to judging and criticizing what we perceive as faults in others, but are blind to our own. Luke chapter 6, verse 41 through 42. If I didn't give you that, I'll read what I got here. It says, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eyes and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye,' when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You're a hypocrite. First take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." In other words, we gotta keep ourselves right. Amen. Don't go around trying to make others' lives miserable when we got things going on in our own. Amen. There is so much good in the worst of us, and so much bad in the best of us, that it hardly behooves any of us to talk about the rest of us. Problems and negative subjects we can make decisions about. Christians need to focus on the positive things they see others do, rather than on their failures. Try finding something good to say about somebody once in a while. Amen? That's a decision. I can decide that I'm going to find every fault in Mark, and I will. Or I can decide that I'm not going to look at his faults, because I have them too. And if he wanted to look into my faults, he'd probably find a whole lot too. But if I decide, I'm going to just try to find out what's good about that man. He loves God. He loves his family. He works hard. Amen. That man loves the Word of God. He studies it, and he understands it, and he teaches it to others. I can begin to find a whole lot of good things to talk about. Amen. Did you see what Brother Mark done the other day? He was talking to so-and-so, and he prayed them through the Holy Ghost, man. We can find good to say about others. Amen. We can find good things to talk about. Instead of tearing down, we can build up. Amen. We can encourage ourselves. Because when we get to talking about others' faults, we get down in the grumps. Amen. We get disgusted. We get frustrated. So let's try thinking good things. Philippians 4:8. I love this scripture. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true." Is it true what you're saying? "Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of a good report. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, Think on these things. Think about this in what we're dealing with in our world right now. God has been dealing with me on politics and all of those things. I can get into that stuff and get a righteous, holy indignation about things and just get all up in an uproar and mad about things and just want to take on the world and fight. Or I can do like someone said, just get in the Word. Just trust the Lord and get in His Word and let Him be in control. Do you think for once that God is not in control of what's going on right now? Amen. He's got it under control. Do you think they're going to pull one over on Him? He knows what's going on. And he's allowing what's going on. He's got a plan. And it's happening because God is in control. And we gotta have a plan that says, I'm going to live for God, whether it looks good or bad. Amen. I don't have control over tomorrow. God does. And I'm going to live for Him. And if I'm by Him, I'm going to be all right. Because I have decided to follow Jesus. Amen. What's that song say? Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none enjoy what I see in God, I'm still going to follow. Because I've made a decision. If you've made a decision to do something, stick with your decision. Yeah. Following Jesus is the best decision you'll ever make in all of your life. Amen? Because He will never fail you. Anything you do for God will not go unnoticed. Amen. That's a decision that is the best thing you've ever done in your life, is saying, I will follow Jesus. So we got to keep a positive attitude of faith in God. It's necessary for a Christian. Amen. You've got to have faith. Without it, any of us can be convinced that nobody wants to be saved. And everybody is a hypocrite or worse. Come on. We can have faith that God wants to save those out there that are rioting and doing all kinds of debauchery and lying and cheating and doing all kinds of evil in this world. God wants to save them. God, I have faith tonight that You will use this body of believers to reach this world that is lost. Even more importantly, it is recognizing the impact of negative comments. We can never be sure who is listening, especially if you have little ones around. Amen? They're going to pick up. Most of the time, they'll pick up on the negative before they will the positive. And they're going to say something that's negative first because that's the nature of man. Amen? Nobody ever had to teach you to be bad. Nobody ever had to teach you that. You were that. We have to teach good. We have to teach, no, this is not right, Johnny. No, this is not right, Susie. You got to act this way. Even though you're having fun, this is how you act when you're around people. You have to train to do that. You have to decide, I want to raise my children up to be what God wants them to be. So I've got to teach, and I've got to decide that I'm going to teach how to do that. So how we handle anger is a choice. Proverbs 17:11. Says, an evil man seeketh only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. Every one of us experiences anger. Can you all say amen? Even the scripture tells us to be angry and sin not. Amen? there is an anger that's okay. Amen. I can be angry at the sin of this world, but I don't have to go out there and sin with them. Amen. Anger can cause you to do something, cause you to make a difference and say, I've had enough with this sin in this church or in this world or in where, whatever the situation is, and get on our faces before God and get a militant prayer spirit about us and start believing God for powerful moves of His Spirit to come against the darkness that's around us. There's nothing wrong with that kind of anger. It's getting a boldness in the Holy Ghost. Say, I've had enough. I'm gonna seek God until He moves and He does something and He shakes this foundation of this sin that's all around. Amen. Anger can also cause us to do and say things that we deeply regret. We really have to have a harness on anger. Amen. I think God would just rather us not have it. He because in Scripture He tells us to get that out of our lives. Remove anger from out of our lives. Amen. So it's much easier just to trust the Lord and get that out, get it away from you. Speak good. If you feel like you can't speak good, go pray. Amen. Go pray and ask God to help you, give you the right words to say. Anger can also cause us to do wrong things that hurt. Many of us have said things that we still got teeth marks in our shoe. Because we put our foot in it and we didn't know how to get ourselves out of it. But a decision, a right decision, can change all of that. You can decide today, tonight, that I'm going to start thinking good. I'm going to find something good to say, or I'm not going to say anything at all. Amen? Cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Amen? If you've got an anger issue, take it to the Lord. Say, God, I need You to help me. I need You to give me wisdom. I need You to help me how to deal with, how would You deal with this, God? Ephesians 4 and 26. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Amen. And then Proverbs 3:23. It says, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. We can get anger and strife out of our lives by finding good to say, finding something that I can say about you that is a blessing, not a curse. I have the control of that. You have the control of that. We can make decisions when criticized. How many of us like to be criticized? Nobody. If we want to be better in our lives, we will accept criticism. It is a hard thing because our pride of our who we are, of what we are. But a good teacher can criticize. Amen. If you don't know why what you're doing is wrong, how are you going to fix it? And that only comes from criticism, that somebody has to show you, criticize you what it is about you that you need to change. Amen? And the criticizer can do that in a lovely way. They don't have to be hurtful when you criticize. If we can learn how to accept criticism, we can go a long ways in our lives. Amen? It is a hard thing, believe me. I know. But it can bless us. It can help us. But we've got to choose to allow criticism in our life. When criticism comes, we must ask, is it true or untrue? Just ask yourself the question. Is what they're saying true or is it untrue? The question to consider is, how do I respond to criticism? How do I respond to it? How do I act when somebody brings criticism my way? That can tell us a lot about our spirit. Amen. Often we overlook our own failures and sin while criticizing the faults in others. So like I said earlier, make sure your yard is clean before you go picking on someone else's yard. Amen. And I always like to say, if you're going to criticize somebody, make sure you have an answer of how they can fix what you're criticizing. Amen. A good teacher is going to tell somebody, okay, this is what I see bad about what you're doing, but this is an answer. This is a way that you could fix that if you're willing. But I can't just criticize and just say, you know, you just need to get it fixed. You didn't do me no good. You didn't help me in any way. If you're going to criticize, have something, a way to fix it. That is reasonable. And be willing to help. Be willing to say, I can help you. I can make you a better in this area of your life. Constructive criticism is okay. If you're willing to construct and build up and help them. Not just cut them down and leave them lay. Amen. Have a plan. Have a way to help that person become a better person. No leader is exempt from criticism. And his humility will be seen clearly in the manner in which he accepts and reacts to it. Criticism causes one to walk humbly with God, and his reaction to it reflects his true character. I've been criticized, and I've had to change some things. Amen. A lot of times I don't like it at first. But I go back and I pray and I reflect on it and I think, my goodness, how can I change this? And eventually I get it. So when wronged, we should not feel singled out when we suffer. Second Timothy 3:12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Amen. God has called us to not just have a fancy ride through life. Amen. There's persecution involved. There's things that we just got to toughen our skin a little bit when we live for God. Amen. We got to do some spiritual calisthenics to build ourselves up because hardship, persecution, things that we just don't like are going to come our way. The Bible promises that. They will come down your path. So work in the spirit. Get things in your life that can do spiritual weightlifting so that you can build up your strength in your mind and in your flesh so that you can handle some things. Amen. So our response should not be to retaliate in anger. but to bring our minds and our bodies under subjection, to understand that all people will sometimes experience undeserved wrongs done to them. Jesus didn't deserve any of that, but he took it so that you could have life, so that you could live free. Amen. And what makes us think that if we're going to, we sing those songs, we pray that prayer, I want to be like him. I want to be like Jesus. Are we really sure we're knowing what we're praying and singing and talking about? Because if you want to be like him, you're gonna experience hurt. He was hated. He was despised and rejected, humiliated, spat upon, all kinds of evil done against him. Why? Because he was doing good? Because he was trying to make somebody live? Because he was trying to give healing to somebody? And so many times they just wanted to cast him off a cliff because he took their funds from them. We've got to be careful and really understand that I'm going to suffer in my walk with God. I'm going to go through some stuff. But if I got Jesus, that's all I need. Amen? Nothing else is going to matter. Nothing else. It's a choice that I've got. I've got to decide. You've got to decide that tonight. Am I going to make the right choice tonight? Amen. No matter what comes my way, no matter what comes down my path, I will follow Jesus. Amen. I will make it. Amen. Yeah, it hurts. It hurts. Nobody says it's going to be easy. But if you'll cast your cares upon him, he will help you. Amen. He will give you the strength, the anointing of his spirit to help you, to give you strength to go through any trial or test you face in your life. Amen. Because ultimately, he's trying to make you a better person. Amen. Amen. He's trying to work something in you so that you can be used mightily of him. If you look at all the stories in the Word of God of those that have went through trials and tests and troubles, it was because God had a plan. And they could not have accomplished the plan that he had for them had they not experienced the trial. Had they not been shipwrecked. Had they not been in the flood or in the fire. They had to get some things. God had to get some things out of their life that he wasn't pleased with. As we close, it's all a matter of choice. Everything you do, life is a big old choice. I choose life. You can choose life tonight. Amen. You can choose to be happy. You can choose to love. You can choose, amen, to forgive. You can choose to walk with Jesus Christ. You can choose to be a worshiper. You can choose to do things that please God. We are presented with decision all day long. Driving down the road, you got to decide in an instant, in a moment, which is the right way to turn. Every part of our life is a decision. And 1 Corinthians 10 and 23, as we stand, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Not everything that we choose is the right thing. So be careful that you choose to do what is right. And no other guide is better than the Word of God. Every situation that we have to deal with, to make a decision about, is in this word somewhere. Amen. God knows it all, and he put it in here as a roadmap, as a way for us to have to make right choices. Your financial things are in the Word of God. Your jobs, your relationships with each other. Everything that we deal with in life is dealt with in the Word of God, and God will help us make the right decision. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you, God. We pray tonight that we can walk out of here, Lord, first of all, deciding to live for you, God, no matter what comes our way, God. But then, Lord, we can work through your word and help us to make right decisions in every aspect of our life, God, so that we can, Lord, have a witness to share with somebody else, Lord God, and we can share the love of God with everyone we meet because we choose to obey your word. In Jesus' name, bless us tonight. We thank you, Lord. Praise God. God bless you.
He goes before me.
He goes before me.